Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Faith That Functions with Pastor Gordon Naumann.
Hello and welcome. You're listening to Lutheran Radio UK, and it's time for another episode of the series Faith That Functions with me, Pastor Gordon Naumann. In today's episode, we're looking at a vision of love. Our text is Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 to 11. It's the second week in Advent, and we're looking forward to the return of our Lord Jesus. So again, from the English Standard Version, our text reads, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem, and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up. Fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those that are with young." I imagine a career as a professional photographer would be quite exciting. If you decided to create a portfolio on celebrities, for instance, there would be an opportunity to get to know those whom you intend to portray. Some of the most beautiful, intriguing pictures one comes across, however, I find, are the ones of people you don't really know. One may even convince oneself that they are beholding the image of an angel. It is at least worth entertaining the idea. But of course, when we delve a little deeper into the lives of these people, we'll probably find they're not. They're sinners like you and me. Let's say you take a picture of two mysterious persons outside of a church. One is young and seems quite preoccupied. His being there is quite incidental. He's passing by. He's got a smart suit on, power tie, wide stride, and he's looking straight past the church. The other figure is much older. He's got a bag slumped over his shoulder. Evidently homeless. He's not moving, standing quite still, but he's not really paying attention to his surroundings either. In fact, as you take the picture, you realize you've portrayed him as looking directly away from the church. Actually, he's looking right at you, face on. Perhaps he wants to get a copper or two, noticing that we are looking in his direction, but not realizing that we are, in fact, looking at the church. We'll get back to the figures in a moment. But for now, what's significant about this particular church is that its outer wall is well adorned with angels. In fact, it's just covered with them. There are so many that you can't even see all their faces, and the ones closest to the figures are basically life-size. And this church has spared no expense. This mural is laced with gold. The angels, their dramatic wings and the rays of light coming from a picture of the very kingdom of heaven itself. And if these two people would just turn around, you would think they would be amazed at what they were seeing. They would have a sudden sense of profoundness and what the world really consists of around them, or would if only they would open their eyes. In other words, all of us, though it is not altogether apparent to us, are surrounded by angels. Our lives, yes, yours and mine, are filled with the presence of angels. Really, it's like that Doctor Who episode, but in a much more positive sense. They're not after us. They're protecting us. They're there to remind us that God wants us to experience His overwhelming personal love for us. And this is why there are so many. And as the photographer, when developing the picture, you realize there's something profound to be grasped from the picture, which you did not at first intend to put there. You've unintentionally put a more meaningful expression to this picture than you ever could have imagined possible with your usual limited perception as a mere mortal. What we suddenly see from this image is that we are like those two figures. Most of the time we are so preoccupied with work or perhaps what we have to do to get others' attention that we never truly see or fully see the wonder of God's ways. Perhaps today will be an opportunity for us to turn around and see the glory of God before us. And for this reason, our text is from Isaiah chapter 40, which offers us also just such a vision of angels. He calls us today to stop and to listen. If you do that, you will discover a beautiful thing. Today, therefore, through the word of Isaiah, God proclaims to us His overwhelming mission of personal love. In a sense, it is overwhelming in that it is almost too much for us to bear or really appreciate. At first glance, you will notice that there are no angels explicitly mentioned in our Old Testament reading, and that we are not given a vision of heaven, with God seated on a throne, surrounded by thousands upon thousands of angels. In fact, Isaiah only gives us a voice, the voice of God that he hears. But this word is in context. Earlier, when Isaiah first received his call, he did receive a glimpse of the heavenly council. This is the point. We are told from the outset where his mission is from. He went into the temple only to discover that somehow it had become the throne room of God. He saw God sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. Chapter 6, verse 1. So great was this God that the mere hem of his robe filled the entire temple, and Isaiah was amazed. This God called Isaiah to speak, and he gave him the words to say. Words of judgment upon Israel, yes, but with them the wondrous image. And this image clearly has another purpose. Judgment is not the end. There will be a time of glory when those who believe will be able to behold God as Isaiah beheld him. He will be more fully known, as with the ghost of Christmas present in that famous Charles Dickens novel, A Christmas Carol. Come over here so that you can know me better, man. God would have us know him even in his glory, but not yet, one day. So as part and parcel of this commission, Isaiah receives the message he offers today. And so, though it isn't mentioned explicitly, the throne room of God with thousands upon thousands of angels covering their faces and hovering in the air, he does want you and I to hear what this God is saying. God is never apart from all of his awe and glory of the angels, and this God speaks to us. In just such a vein, in order to bring comfort to his people. Yes, this is the message. Hear the overwhelming mercy of God. Comfort. Comfort my people, says God. God issues his command to Isaiah not once, but twice. God is emphatic about the work that he is about to do. Also notice that the command is spoken in the plural. This is captured well in that familiar hymn, Comfort, comfort ye my people, LSB 347. The ye isn't referring to the people. It's referring to those tasked with comforting. So we picture not just one lone angel with this mission, but a whole heavenly host bringing this message of comfort and hope to earth. Yes, God is commanding more than one, many, if not all of them. All of you under my command, still loyal to me, comfort my people. This is how desirous God is to bring comfort to them and to us. But what is this message of comfort? How can we be comforted? How could Israel, in the throes of yet another exile by a foreign people and nation? In exactly this way, their sin is pardoned. They may have peace with God because their Redeemer is true. Our God is overwhelmingly forgiving. There are clear consequences for our unfaithfulness, but God's faithfulness endures forever. And the manifestation of righteousness then comes in not just the form of just punishment, but perfect redemption. Put in such terms, we can see very clearly how this mission, once given to angels, continues to happen even in our midst. So this mission is ongoing. Or when did the angels cease exercising this mission? They didn't. Here we are again, and here they still are, heralding the time of Advent all around us. Of course, our text for today rings out with the truth, proclaimed also by John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ, with the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, calling the people to repent and prepare for the Lord. And his work was a baptism, revealing that one greater was still to come. Of course he was. God himself would redeem his people. He would forgive the sins of his people, if only they would listen to his angels, who lay a path before him. And so he comes. Even now he comes and baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Jesus, having already been sent by his Father once, attaches his death and resurrection to us by his word and Spirit, sealed upon us, upon our foreheads as the water is poured upon our flesh, making us whole only in him. We die because his death is now our death. We rise to life again, having died, because his resurrection is now our resurrection, via baptism, via his word, via his promise. This is all part of our image. We are ever enriched. The Son of Man, once dead, now risen, sitting on the throne of God with the Father, surrounded by his angels. He's there too, in power and glory, with eternal grace and mercy for you and for me. Jesus rules, and as long as this world endures, his mission continues. He is the one saying, "Comfort, comfort my people." And he does this by sending his Spirit like a ray of light coming from the throne of God, by his power, will, and compassion, thereby equipping us, his people, to join in his overwhelming mission of mercy to the ends of the earth. I don't know if you ever fancied yourself an angel before, and perhaps you're not as luminescent as one from above, but you are his messenger now, and that is exactly what you are, born from above, for his purpose, for life, for salvation, not only for yourself, but for your neighbor. Do you see how this is not just any mission, but a mission of personal love? Notice how the first way the angels are to bring comfort to God's people is by speaking tenderly to them. Literally, they are to speak upon the heart. What on earth does that mean? This is language of personal love. The Spirit and the angels speak to our hearts a direct message of love. I'm not just talking about a warm feeling. It is indescribable truth and faith, trust alone in one's God and Redeemer. This is the gift of God to you, from him, from both his Spirit as a sharp two-edged sword that can pierce you right to the core, and from his angels, who bring the same healing balm of his word. This language is of a God in love with his people, even when his people stray from his love and justly suffer his wrath. God continues to seek out his lover. In this text, again, we get a glimpse of God where he reveals to us a personal love. And if our imagination can exceed that, he is even more loving, for it spans even beyond our own dimension. In Advent, we celebrate how the Son of Man once deigned to separate himself from the intimacy of the Trinity in order to join himself according to his human nature intimately with man to be our groom. Advent is the season where we prepare for Christmas, the incarnation of our Lord. And this is where we are given probably the most profound glimpse of the presence of angels all around us as they announce the good news of Christ's birth to the shepherds. And when they come, they announce the ultimate expression of love, both personal and interdimensional. For we know that this Christ who was born, sent by the Father, took on human flesh in order to suffer the wrath of God for all sin. That means your and my sin. That means he has brought all people back into a right relationship with God, not just by having a personal relationship with us, but necessarily tearing apart, even if but temporarily, his eternal, intimate and personal relationship with the rest of the Trinity as he hung there, helpless and alone, on the cross. That's why he was born. And the angels herald this feat of love. They can't stop. This is all their song for all eternity, and we would do well to picture it. This is the message he communicates to us today and every day, but today we make it personal again. He sends his word of love and comfort today to you, for you. This is an invitation to participate in a new way of life, in which God also then invites you and me to take part in this mission of personal love. You see, having experienced his forgiveness in our lives, having received his Holy Spirit, we are equipped to join the voices of the heavenly chorus, to witness of the one who speaks of his love to the world. And we need not fear, because we have a whole host of heaven around us, surrounding us, on our side with the same message. And so with them, we sing a song of joy every time one sinner repents. Luke 15:10. Remember the beautiful mural on the side of the church? It is so fantastic that it is almost as if the angels are stepping through to be fully known in our dimension. Of course, they do not wish to bring glory upon themselves, but on Christ. So even they are very hidden from our eyes. But one angel is quite poignantly holding out its arms, with a lily in one of its hands and a staff in the other, where his forefinger is extended. It reaches out from the mural as if it is pointing in the direction of the young man, not to where the young man should go, but somehow at the young man himself, as if to warn him, but to console him as well. If only he knew of the Redeemer. It's quite sad. It seems as if all is lost if this man is not reached. Will this man be reached? Perhaps this is the question and this is the point, the reason why, though completely unintentionally, this was the picture that was taken. For the Son of Man has come for this purpose. This is his mission. And the Spirit and the angels would have us join them. The old man is already looking at you. Perhaps after receiving a few coppers, he'll listen to you as you tell him to turn around and see the magnificent mural that stands there. And perhaps one day we will see the young man again, and we will be able to tell him the good news. Maybe next time he'll stop to tie his shoe, or light a cigarette, or enjoy his coffee, or catch the bus, or he just stops. He's tired, and he just takes a moment to think about what it's all for, just for a moment, before convincing himself that life is too busy to dwell on it too much, and walk away. Look, look at this magnificent mural. Does it not speak of truth? In Renaissance art, there is one particular angel that often carries a lily. It's Gabriel. The angel Gabriel was sent to Mary to announce that she would bear God's Son. How beautiful that this angel, so close to the incarnation of our Lord, is also pictured right here, so close to this young man. For God sent his only begotten Son into this world for individual people. Yes, for the whole world, but that means for you and for me, personally. He knew he would have to die for you. I certainly know he had to die for me. Though we are not always attending to God in this world, we should know that he is always attending to us. He's always with us, sends his angels to guard over us, promises that as his Son forgave our sins, so he continues to send messengers to remind us of the same. He sends angels, prophets, pastors, and all who believe to join in this mission of love. For we already know that the message we bear is not in vain. This good news is that we are already saved. Our sins are forgiven. And your voice is echoed by a trillion others, or shall we say by a number greater than we can really count or imagine. What a comfort. What a great comfort that is. In the name and for the sake of Jesus. Amen. You've been listening to Faith That Functions. Thanks for tuning in. The podcast of this program is also available for download from our website, lutheranradio.co.uk. My name is Pastor Gordon Naumann. I serve St. David's Lutheran Church in Cardiff, Wales, and you can find us at stdavidcardiff.webs.com. We are here every Sunday at 9:45, typically for Bible study, for all those who love delving that little bit deeper into Scripture, and then for our main service at 11. All are welcome to come and hear the sweet news of the Gospel. It is for everyone. And that's not all. Again, tonight we continue with our midweek Advent service. It'll start at 8 p.m. And our theme is Show Us Our Provider from Psalm 104. So if that just sounds fascinating, come on down to St. David's Lutheran Church. We can't wait to worship with you. But as for the series Faith That Functions, next week our lesson will be from Isaiah 61, and we're going to be looking at why our Father has the joy down in his heart. So stay tuned, and I'll speak to you again soon on Lutheran Radio UK for another episode of the series Faith That Functions. In the meantime, God's peace be with you, now and always.